Okay, I dropped the voice recorder. So we're going to see if this is going to pick up again. All right. Looking good. So we talked about intervals, we talked about hills. This LSD, this long, slow distance, this is one that most people completely screw up. If you're training for a marathon or a half marathon or even an ultra, we have a few ultra runners in this study. People will neglect this part of their workouts. They'll go out and they'll do a long workout. They'll run for an hour, or they'll run for 2 hours, or they'll run for 3 hours, depending on what is a long workout for your particular training state. But they'll go too hard. They will run at a tempo pace. And what the purpose of this run is really for endurance. The purpose of this run, biologically, is to teach your body how to activate its fat-burning enzymes. And if you run too hard, you can't use those enzymes. You can't burn fat if you're running at a tempo pace. You just can't. Physiologically, you're going at too high an intensity, so your body's using sugar. You don't want that. You want to be going at such a low pace that your body is able to use fat. And to do that, you need to be at an RPE of no more than 7. And that's maybe in the later stages of your workout. So to use myself as an example, when I'm at a rating perceived exertion of 5 or 6 or 7, my heart rate can't be any more than 145, right? I know that from my VO2 maxes. I know that from other maximal testing that I've done. And so I'll wear a heart rate monitor when I do my long, slow distance runs. Not because I'm trying to hit a specific heart rate, but I'm trying to stay below a specific heart rate. So I'll look at it every little while. And if I approach 150, I walk, you know, and that to a lot of people is the opposite of what they think they should be doing. They think they should be out there pushing themselves as hard as possible for that whole hour, that whole 2 hours, that whole 3 hours, however long they think they're supposed to be out there. But what you're doing when you're going too hard is you're shutting off your fat-burning enzymes. You're shutting off your ability to access your biggest storage of energy. And this specific workout is really to maximize that. So you have to go slow. So these three workouts are very specific. We're going hard on the interval and the hill days, and we're not going hard on the LSD days. And this is really, psychologically, it's very difficult for people because at the beginning of the workout, when you look at your heart rate, or you think to yourself, I'm only going 5, you really are thinking, this can't be a workout. I'm not going hard enough to be doing anything. But you are, because you're training your fat-burning machinery. So that's really, really important for people to do it that way. If people do these three workouts every single week, you'll have no trouble completing the Snowbird Trail Challenge that we're doing on July 23rd. No problem at all. If you feel like you want to do other workouts during the week, like I said before, you can do weights, you can do other kinds of cross training like cycling or swimming or yoga or whatever you want to do. If you really feel like you need to do another run, you can do a tempo run just so you can sort of clear your mind and loosen up your legs and things like that. But don't think you need to do an extra interval workout or an extra hill workout or even an extra long distance run. That just doing those three are going to give your body enough of a strain and enough of a training stimulus to really train those different systems. So that's the workout. Those are the reasons that we're doing the workout. And that, I think, is going to get everybody to where they need to be. So I'll be happy to answer any questions if you guys have them. You got any questions at all?
Sure. So, I mean, how different is a hill workout versus an interval workout? Where if you're out on the trail, essentially, you're going hard whether.
Because it's rolling. So if you're on a hill workout, right? I mean, if you're out on the trails, what you might want to do, one way that I do the hill workouts on the trails is I'll run to a place that has a nice hill, and I'll just go up and down it, up and down it, up and down it for my workout, and then I'll run home, right? So that's one way to do it. To do your interval workouts on the trail, same thing. You can run to a place and do back and forths, you know, where the trail is flat.
Versus a steeper grade.
Right, exactly. So, you know, the intervals you really want to think about, you know, they should be flat, they should be fast feet, and you can't really do fast feet on a hill. You could, I guess, but it's not really the same sort of a thing. So the fact that you're separating them out that way. If you want to do it, if you're going to do a fartlek workout and just do sort of a loop, right? You want to go out and do a loop on the trails. You could just do, if it's an interval workout, you can do your fast part on the flattish and then sort of cruise the rest of it. If it's the hill day, you can do the hard part on the hills and then just cruise the rest of it. So really, really whatever works for you on a particular day, but to try to really separate it that way, that you're getting a speed day, a strength day, an endurance day. And that's really all that's going to be required. Those are the three key building blocks to make us faster. So we're going to perform our best on the 23rd. Okay? All right, if there aren't any other questions, then that's... Oh, you're going to... Okay.
Are there any side effects that we could see as far as astaxanthin?
Yeah, that's a good question. With a lot of supplements, there can be side effects, especially if we're talking about herbal kinds of things. But this being a very sort of a food-oriented supplement, even at really high doses, I said before that one of the problems with over-supplementing with antioxidants is that you can get this pro-oxidant effect where too little is bad, too much is equally as bad. Astaxanthin doesn't seem to have that pro-oxidant effect. So, even if somebody who was in this study in the highest dose of astaxanthin, even if they took double or triple or quadruple, they're not going to get into a level where there should be any sort of problems. The one place where, I guess theoretically there could be somebody who is allergic to this because it's an allergy source or something like that, but I've never heard of any sort of side effects with astaxanthin, so it's not something I'm anticipating. Okay. All right. So with that, I'm going to go here and hit this stop button, and I'll be posting.